The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
This is our Sunday version of the Be a Planner Show, as opposed to the Tax Mass Show that we have on Saturdays. And as I mentioned yesterday on Saturday, we hope to have a special guest today. I believe Medina Sheikh is going to join us to discuss real estate private partnership syndications. Specifically, he's got one here in the Houston area that he's working on. And wanted to chat with him a little bit about that and just generally his business model and how he determines which properties are a fit, et cetera. So for the next hour or so, as we've been doing for the month that we started the show here about a month ago, we're talking about REPs, which are real estate private partnership syndications. What they are, why you might want to invest in them, and more importantly, how do we assess the math of individual specific transactions. It's Sunday, January the 16th. When's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you money, or more importantly, create significantly more wealth over the rest of your life? We are planners. Most CPAs are reporters that simply focus on what happened last year as they're reporting your current year taxes. We like to focus on the rest of this year and perhaps the next 30 years, certainly your life expectancy, which according to the IRS is mid to late 80s for most of us, and we want to help you develop at twice the financial freedom that others that you hear barking on this radio station claim they can do. And we'll show you exactly how long it will take you to retire. We don't just claim it's 2.5 years or 5 years, because we know there are constraints based on your available resources to get started and based on how you define retirement, or as Marvin Zindler used to say, whatever makes you happy, as he would sign off on Friday nights, you may recall. But in any event, we understand that financial freedom is about the money, because that's what creates the lifestyle. And anybody that's telling you differently, I suggest you question some of the other things they're telling you, because it's probably just as backwards as that comment, which I've heard many times here on the air, on this station, in fact, and other stations. Many stations around the country is where that phrase is heard, but all by the same self-made millionaire. In any event, we understand that retirement involves so much more than being able to cover next month's bills, which is the common refrain I hear that defines somebody being retired. And I would suggest to you that if you're one of the 50% of all American couples that are afflicted with long-term health care issues or chronic illness, that you will understand wholeheartedly that retirement involves a lot more resources, a lot more savings than you might have thought. And so the REP space is absolutely one of the best asset classes to have your money in. Achieves above average rates of return and allows you to put away money or live today, depending on your facts and circumstances, Because if you structure your retirement funds the way we know we can in an optimal fashion under the tax code, where we keep 100% of that money working towards your future, we don't opt to pay the government their share just yet. We may start doing that on a Roth conversion, an optimal amount each year, but the bottom line is we don't believe that simply ripping the Band-Aid off, as others will tell you, and paying the IRS today represents financial freedom. We would suggest that that's going to cause you to take a lot longer than if you kept that money, put it into some extra real estate private partnerships to generate between 10 and 30% per year for the rest of your life, or however long before you need to live on the money. So in any event, you know, the issue with the private placements, real estate private partnerships, etc., that is really just awesome, is the day and time that we live in. It's just like buying a ticket for a trip on a airline. We no longer have to call the travel agent. Well, the equivalent in our niche is the membership platform, the mentor platform, and that's no longer a requirement for you to get access to these real estate private partnerships. It's like everything else, it seems like, in our current society. We can do our research online. We can locate possible transactions to invest in online, and we can actually subscribe online. And so, you know, you start to ask yourself, well, you know, why am I spending the $20,000+ to join one of the platforms? And I would suggest to you that there are reasons. Some are better than others, but the reasons that you typically hear about are not the reasons to join. The sales pitch will give you all but the really only reasons I suggest my clients join these platforms from time to time. You know, if you you know, need the camaraderie of others that have walked ahead of you, perhaps that's a good reason. If you have the ability to stay focused on the ultimate objective here, which is deploy your retirement funds in an optimal fashion, and you don't necessarily listen to the advice you're getting, the tax advice that you're getting from some of these platforms, which, again, they don't seem to understand the optimal way to execute your retirement savings being invested under the tax code. So, you know, it's a mixed bag, and I would suggest to you that regardless of how you choose to go about it, you probably want to get someone to ride shotgun with you that understands how to interpret the legal documents, how to interpret assorted other strategies that you're going to learn about as you move through the investment process. I hear the music coming up for the first break, and we'll circle back. If anyone would like to call in today, the number is 281-558-5738, or you can text me at 713-581-0195. We'll be right back with the Be A Planner Syndication Mass Show.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Catch Chris X Radio weekdays at 4.
When asked whether it's time for the administration to change their course on COVID, Kamala Harris replied,
"It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us."
What?
Chris X Radio, weekdays 4 till 6, right here on the Voice of Texas.
Our veterans risked it all to protect our freedoms. And now they need our help as we all fight the coronavirus. At an unprecedented time in history, our most vulnerable veterans are isolated at hospitals. And during their greatest time of need, their family, hospital volunteers, and staff can have little or no contact with them. Being alone can be terrifying, but we all can help. Help Heal Veterans, with the support of citizens like you, creates, manufactures, and distributes therapeutic art and craft projects for our veterans and military at no charge to them. We invite you to join us in supporting an isolated or sick veteran and help them through this desperate time. To learn more, visit HealVets.org. This message is furnished by Help Heal Veterans, a not-for-profit organization that has been helping veterans for nearly 50 years. HealVets.org.
Paul Berlin, a radio icon. His unique style and warm personality endeared him to so many. His endless stories and great music will never die. Paul may no longer be with us, but his memory will live on. KSEV is proud to continue with the best of Paul. Every Saturday evening, 6 to 8 p.m., Paul said it best as he closed his show.
We'll meet again at 700 a.m., KSEV in Heavenly Houston.
I am a seeker, and you are a teacher. You are a reacher, so reach down. Reach out and lead me. Guide me and keep me in the shelter of your care each day.
Okay, welcome back to the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross. I guess I'm going to move on into some of the program we've been starting to get into here the last couple of weeks, where we talk about the lineup that we have, the rudiments of it here on our website. I'm still working through some details on the real one, but this is enough. It's placeholder information, but it's got enough structure where I can show you how we analyze, or some of the key math components on each transaction. And once you understand these components, you'll become very savvy in terms of how you feel about opportunities that come along. We'll get your radar honed. You may not be exactly correct, but you're going to be a lot closer. And the reason that you may not ever get it 100% is because those foxes that are out there that are trying to raid your chicken coop are getting better and better at where they hide the cheese, let's call it. You know, they're moving provisions around. They are finding other more creative ways to dilute your capital. And so we search out, and I say we, meaning my clients and I, search out the syndicators that are structuring these transactions in a rational fashion that has a fair split of the profits. You know, we want the syndicator to make money. We want to make money, of course, but we want to do it in a synchronized fashion, meaning that we're not a big fan of seeing just massive amounts of capital taken out on what I call day zero, which is at closing. We understand there are costs involved in putting a transaction together. We understand we've got to pay staff, et cetera. But we also understand that we're the ones putting the money up in large measure. Now, it's true that some of the syndicators put significant amount of capital in. That's one thing we look for. We like someone that's doing that. On the other hand, we suggest that if you're taking fees that are outside what we would call the norm, that we think those fees should only occur after we've gotten our money back. And we're not suggesting you shouldn't take any fees. We're suggesting that if you back up even a couple of years ago, very few fees were layered on top of these transactions other than the obligatory promote, which is the override that the syndicator gets, And I'll come back to that component here in a minute, but you know, the concept of a property management fee, an asset management fee, those are what I would refer to as obligatory costs that you're going to have in every transaction you look at. Nobody's going to quibble over a 3% property management fee, perhaps a 2% asset management fee, on top of perhaps a 20 to 30% on the aggressive end override or promote. And when you think about it, on almost any transaction that has any type of scale at all, 150 units on up, that's a lot of money in and of itself right there. If you're raising $12 million in capital and you're giving a syndicator a 25% promote, that's equivalent of $3 million being put into the till that's going to go towards his part of the profit generation. So that's a pretty big compensation item just in and of itself. Forget about some of the other fees that we're seeing added on. We're seeing acquisition fees now, which again, nothing wrong with fees, but it would seem to me that if we're investor friendly and we're treating our investors as partners, that there would be some concept of synchronizing the distribution of profits. And again, we understand there's you know, mouths to feed, so to speak, and there's cost involved, but I also understand that almost every out-of-pocket cost, appraisals, environmental fees, you know, bank fees, et cetera, every last dollar of that's being reimbursed by closing, so that truthfully, the administrative overhead is the only thing that's not. And I would suggest that, you know, if you're a syndicator and you've got the resources to be in this game, you got to be expected to cover part of those costs until you're successful making money. And you know, making money is how you cover those costs. It shouldn't be by reaching into the capital contributions of your partners and taking money out. Although, again, a rational amounts we don't quibble with. And particularly when a syndicator is putting their own money into the deal, and I don't mean, you know, they're taking $2 million in acquisition fees and putting $1 million in as capital. I mean, they're putting significantly more in than the acquisition fee. But in any event, you know, when you look at the metrics on these syndications, I'm going to suggest to you that, you know, the first step you're going to see on almost every investment seminar or webinar, which is the kind of the first step in the process. You know, when you hear about a private placement or a syndication being ready to get started, the first thing you're going to get is a nice four-color PDF that someone will walk you through on a webinar. It's always helpful and insightful to sit in on those, see the team, understand their backgrounds, their experience, what have they done in the past to give us some confidence that they can do this again. And of course, after you see some of the beautiful images, you'll eventually come to a summary of the financial metrics, all based on pro forma. And, you know, as an example, I'm looking at a transaction right now that has a five-year target hold, a 2.5-plus equity multiple. These are numbers that are, I won't say common, but they're certainly not, you know, unusual. And then they will generally offer or have the ability to pass out anywhere from a 5 to 10% cash-on-cash return. And then, of course, the other thing that will always be explained or should be explained is which section of the SEC 506 crowdfunding rules that this specific transaction is offered under. You're typically going to see transactions under 506B or 506C. 506B allows both accredited and non-accredited investors to invest. A very important concept for you to understand before you waste a lot of time looking at a transaction that you might not be able to invest in because it requires accredited status, which means you've got a net worth just generally of at least $1 million, not counting the equity in your home. And if you're in that particular class, then your opportunities are somewhat more voluminous than the 506B or what we call the non-accredited or unaccredited investor. Then you're going to be limited to transactions that are specifically targeted to unaccredited investors, or at least 35 will be able to participate in a 506B transaction, plus an unlimited number of accredited. And of course, we cannot advertise for the 506B type transactions, whereas with the 506C transaction, advertising's permitted, widely based advertising. So again, you got to check that right off the bat. If you look at the lineup that we're putting together for the website, you'll notice that we do indicate which section of 506 these hypothetical transactions are offered under. So you see real quick, without having to go dig through, you know, 50 to 100 pages or more of private placement memorandums, operating agreements, etc., we pull these variables right out to give you a real quick read on not just things like what section of the SEC statute is it offered under, but we're also giving you some idea of what the equity multiple is. And bear in mind, when you see a certain equity multiple highlighted in an investment summary or a webinar, you've got to look past the number. So if someone tells you it's a 2.5, but it occurs over 10 years or 8 years, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking to double our money every 4 years. Effectively, it's a 20% compounded rate of return is our target. And so to do that, if you divide your target rate, 20% end of 72, it's referred to as the rule of 72, you'll see that it takes 3.6 years before your money doubles at 20%. So, yeah, we're looking for an equity multiple that's going to be 2.0 or higher around the 3.5 to 4 year mark. And if, for instance, it's a 5 year hold and you're at 2.5, well, that gets you to the same base, I guess, is what I say on the lineup. I use a 3.6-year base. So we're looking for 0.5 each year. So 4 years would give you the doubling effect, and close enough. But in any event, that's key. Now, that doesn't say you're going to be making money every year. That's looking at it over the four-year period or the five-year period or the six-year period and saying that's how much of your returns compared to your capital will be. So if you put $100,000 in, you get $200,000 out. That's a 2.0 equity multiple. And then you need to sensitize that over the volume of years. In any event, we're coming up on the second break. We will circle back here in a few minutes to the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We'll be right back.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. BePlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BePlanner.com. Or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You're driving down the road and suddenly your check engine light comes on. Your mind immediately begins to race. Is this serious? What does this mean? Am I about to break down? Who can I trust to repair this properly without being taken advantage of? Hi, this is Rona from Skeeter's Auto Service, home of the Texas Car Doctor Radio Show, where old-fashioned, unparalleled customer service meets the latest in technology. We're not going to overcharge you or sell you what you don't need. We're not going to keep your car for days on end, and we will always try to give you options that fit your budget. My dad always taught us, do the right thing for the right reasons, work hard, and success will always follow. We pride ourselves in doing just that each and every day at Skeeter's Auto Service. Check us out at skeetersauto.com, like us on Facebook, or give us a call at 281-469-1152.
Wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross. It's our Syndication Math Sunday show. And I was starting to explain going through the lineup, is what I'm calling it, here on our website, how to interpret some of these columns. And by the way, this is just a sampling of the columns. We're going to have somewhere, looks like I'm still trying to decide which columns to include, trying to remain as objective as I can and simply refer to the math. On the other hand, there's some subjective issues we'll get into that we'll do our best to. We're trying to call the balls and strikes, but, you know, at times depends on how good eyesight the umpire has, I guess. So I'm going to suggest to you that we do our best to understand the math. And, you know, if any of our clients are dealing with a specific syndicator and a syndicator says, you know, that's not right, I'm going to invite them to connect with me. Let me hear what they interpret the math to be. But, again, I'm not the one generating the private placement memorandum. I'm not the one generating the operating agreement. I'm reading them. I think I can understand English, and I know a little bit about math. But every once in a while, due to some of the legalese and language that's in these documents, you know, attorneys are a rare breed at times when it comes to, you know, making us chase our tail to figure out what's really going on in a set of documents. And, you know, the way that the provisions are spread out throughout these documents and refer to paragraphs such and such, either before or after. And, yeah, you got to go look over there to figure out what that's saying to then understand what this is saying. And at times it's needlessly complicated. On the other hand, I understand, having drafted over $500 million worth of operating agreements back in the 2005 to 2010 time frame, I understand the difficulty, and I'll suggest to you that every attorney starts with a document, an operating agreement, private placement memorandum, etc., that they've used before, and then they're trying to tweak it to fit the current project. And if they didn't do that, the fees would be four times what they are otherwise. So I fully understand and stipulate that, hey, this transaction has been, you know, crafted as best we can, but I also understand mistakes get made. I review documents routinely where, for instance, in the waterfall distribution section, you know, you'll have language indicating which class gets what priority, et cetera. And I've seen scenarios where an attorney cut and pasted paragraph one down to paragraph two, or round one of the distribution down to round two, probably got a phone call, forgot where they were at, came back and went on to something else without correcting the second waterfall. That's happened. I've lost track of the number of times that's happened. Or there's a discussion about the allocation of profits, which not a column on here yet, but it's going to be on here, where, you know, are the profits allocated consistently with the distribution waterfalls? And, you know, what happens, unless the attorney has a tax background or they include a partnership tax savvy CPA or other tax preparer, it doesn't have to be a CPA, that understands the concept of allocating cash flow one way and taxable income another, you end up with a scenario, and I've seen this so many times, again, I've lost track of the number, where the passive investor may be paying the lead partner's tax in some years, and other years the lead partner's paying the passive's tax because they're not using a allocation model that synchronizes the two concepts. You know, you've got cash flow and you've got taxable income, and they're different. Cash flow is not necessarily taxable, although eventually, when all the ducks come home, it should. You know, cash flow typically is due to profits having been earned, but it's always a timing issue. So, you know, that's something we look at. We try to keep our clients out of those situations just because it's an unknown. And I understand, I've heard more lead partners say, well, you know, we're going to do the right thing. You know, we don't need to worry. Well, that would be fine, but for a couple reasons. Number one, the partner in the team may go out and celebrate, I don't know, on a closing, on the refinance, maybe on another property they've just undertaken, and driving home that night from Papacito's, they may have had a few too many of those margaritas, and next thing you know, they've passed on. And so now someone's walking into the shoes of the syndicator, the lead partner, and what they know is that there's an operating agreement, and the operating agreement is the operations Bible for that partnership. And what I can tell you is, regardless of what phone calls took place or emails that you may have gotten between you and the lead partner where he explained, oh, don't worry about that. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to look at that each year, and we're going to synchronize that up. The problem is there's a provision in almost every operating agreement you'll ever look at referred to integration, where when you sign that operating agreement, you are indicating your acquiescence to all the terms and conditions in that operating agreement, overriding any other information you may have seen on a webinar, you may have talked to the lead partner about, you may have emailed the lead partner. Doesn't matter. That operating agreement just supplanted or superseded all of those other conversations and written communications. So it does matter. And I'm going to suggest to you, if you go through the subscription process and you haven't resolved in your mind any of the disconnects that might be out there, you're just basically holding your breath and assuming nothing's going to happen. And that's usually the case, but it's not always the case. I've got clients in a transaction where the lead partner passed away about a year ago, and thankfully it was a lead partner that had a significant team around them, and they were able to continue operations just as if you know, the new leader had been leading from the outset. So that's what you want to try to find. Try to find some depth. Let's rely on more than one person, if we can, to get us to the finish line. In any event, so moving on from the equity multiple, which is, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 column over. I guess first off, I should probably explain class and type. Class is generally what asset class are we dealing with? Is it a 2 or 3 year old Class A property, or is it a 25 or older year Class C? B would fall somewhere in the middle. And it's not just their age. It's also their finishes, their location, the level of rents that they can generate off of the assets. But suffice it to say that you'll have no problem distinguishing between an A and a C plus, as an example, or an A and a D. And again, the A's are going to be, you know, 5 years or newer. You know, they're not going to need significant rehab, and you know, they're going to generate the higher rents. Now, they're also going to have perhaps higher cost, but it would be a more quality asset. And these are assets that I see range, you know, if you were seeing something that an established, what I would call a major league type operator, like a Camden property REIT here in Houston, or an Omni or a Gable. I mean, these are at the top tier of the apartment game. They're going to pay, or they're going to spend $275,000 to $300,000 a door to build those units. I mean, that's kind of the top end. May even be more now with the inflation. Transitory as it may be, thank you, Jerome Powell and Janet Yellen. And Joe Biden, they, you know, scary to think that the people leading our country don't understand the nature of inflation, especially when you used to be or are currently head of the Federal Reserve. You would think Janet Yellen would know firsthand what inflation looks like, and Jerome Powell. And instead, they took them several months to understand that it was real. And now it looks like, at least, I'm going to defer to the major CEOs that have been surveyed, where they believe this is at least a 2023 type recovery, or at least inflation coming down. I don't know. I you know, nobody has the magic wand here. And I guess, as I said on the show yesterday, an article in the Wall Street Journal was talking about Paul Volcker when he became the Fed Reserve Chairman in 1979, inflation was double what it is now. We were at 14%, and it took him about 3 years to get it under control, which at the time was, you know, very impressive. And I've been reading, I can't think of the name of it right now. Paul Volcker has a book out, and I tell you, what a class act that guy is. I wish we had someone like that now that doesn't have such a, I'm going to call it a deer in the headlights look, because I tell you, it's kind of scary what it looks like we have at the moment. In any event, I hear the music coming for the third break, so we will be circling back again. If you'd like to ask a question, 281-558-5738, or you can text me at 713-581-0195. We'll be right back.
Don't be confused. Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
want people of honor and integrity representing us in Congress. We want people that have to live by the same rules we do.
To uphold the Constitution, that's what I want.
I have a new grandchild, and I want her to have the same America as I had growing up.
As a veteran, I am sick and tired of somebody apologizing for what we've done in our country.
An independent voice for conservative opinions. AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
More than one in three people will face cancer in their lifetime. Unfortunately, fear can stop you from getting your cancer screening, but it won't stop cancer. Early detection can save your life. Don't wait for symptoms to appear to act. Cancer screening is safe, effective, and accessible for everyone, including free or low-cost screening programs. Go to cancerscreeninfo.com right now for free screening resources and recommendations from the American Cancer Society. Don't wait. Early detection can save your life. Go to cancerscreeninfo.com today. cancerscreeninfo.com.
Professionals at Nick's Plumbing can take your plumbing issue and fix it fast, fix it right, and usually for less than you'd expect. We operate over 15 fully stocked trucks and hire only licensed and experienced professionals to come to your home. We offer free estimates and free second opinions. With 40 years in business and over 150,000 satisfied customers, Nick's wants to be your plumbing company. Call Nick's Plumbing and Sewer Services, 713-868-9907, or visit us on the web, nicksplumbing.com.
MPL 38548.
Okay, welcome back to the Be a Planner show. This is our Sunday syndication mass show. And just before we left, I was talking about the different classes of assets. And bear in mind, this is across multiple real estate or genres of real estate, I might say. Apartments, office buildings, medical or healthcare facilities, retail, medical facilities, if I didn't say that already, industrial properties. So there's all a kind of a ranking system. And, you know, again, the price per door, the price per square foot, however you're delineating the asset will be a good clue for what you're dealing with. And it's not necessarily good or bad. I guess if I look back over the last 20 years or so that I've practiced in this area, the bulk of the money that I've seen made is in the C-class asset, because typically the C's represent an opportunity to refresh, bring the properties up to date. I know now many syndicators are buying these 40-year-old, 50-year-old Class C apartments and or C-minus, and, you know, they're putting smart home packages in, quote, wood-like, end quote, flooring in, new appliances, maybe some dog runs, some covered parking, valet trash service. They're trying to make them more A-like, which a C will never be an A. And in fact, I would suggest to you that if you try too hard to make it an A, you'll never get your money back, because people that live in C properties typically are not going to hang around when you raise their rent to cover all these nice amenities. So you're counting on getting new tenants. And that means, you know, when you jack the rental rates up, you're competing against the B class, the true B class, or even potentially, I guess, depending on the part of town it's in and the other finishes, it could be an A minus. So, you know, it's all relative, and it does impact how you look at a transaction, because typically, you know, as an example, one of the current projects that I'm aware of out there in the A class is what I think of as an amazing opportunity. It's an A grade apartment project that's got a blended acquisition cost between the 140 units that are on the ground versus the 140 that'll be built, a blended cost of $182,000 a door. It's almost, $100,000 less than the aforementioned top shelf Class A developers are building, and you know those are rare, but that gives you some idea. Now there's a transaction where you not only get the returns that you might get with a successful C upgrade, but you've also got asset quality. So when you are starting off with one of the things that I think of as being a real negative right now, which is use of bridge debt, which again, that's going to be a column on here. It's not yet, but we'll be adding that. Bridge debt to me is something that you really got to be paying close attention to because it's temporary debt. 3 year typically is the term, and then you pay a 1% extension fee to take it to a fourth year and even a fifth year. So a $30 million loan costs you, $300,000 to extend. So it's real money. But bottom line is asset quality, you got to balance that against cash flow. The type of transaction is either a value play or a yield play. Value play is one that will have heavy renovation cost. And, you buy a beat-up old Class C apartment, you put, $8,000 to $10,000 a door into it to make it nice, new appliances, the aforementioned flooring, smart home packages, etc., versus the yield play, which is more like buying a T-bill. You've got a property that's typically 90-plus percent occupied. It's in relatively good condition, so you're not going to spend money to rehabilitate it or remodel it, maybe a little bit, maybe some paint, that sort of thing. And so the yield on it will be less, potentially, than the value play because you're not able to move the rents up, which in turn would move the net operating income up. And net operating increase will be another column that we've got. It's off to the side here, but it's not being displayed on this particular look. And then we come on over to the equity multiple I mentioned earlier. I got to remember to sensitize it for that 3.6 to 4 range. And then we look at the minimum hold or the maximum hold. Some wide ranges there, and that's because nobody knows the future, especially right now. And I think most lead partners start to look at selling somewhere in the maybe the 4 year range, 4 to 5 year range, refinance maybe 3 to 4 years in. But with what's going on right now in the market, it's going to be real interesting to see what happens when all this bridge debt is looking for a home here in the next 3 years. And again, unless you've got a story to tell, if you don't have a story right now and you don't successfully execute whatever your business model is that gets you a story, there's going to be some train wrecks 3, 4, 5 years down the road. So you want to try to make sure you're investing in asset quality that will have a story at that point. Irrespective of what the rates get up to. I mean, there's no question the rates are going to be heading up. The head of the Fed, Jerome Powell, already indicated they're going to be doing rate increases. I think the story changes every other day. I think the latest version I read was they're looking at perhaps 3 rate increases this year, I believe, starting in the summer or maybe over 12 months from the first one. But it's going to be fairly aggressive. By the way, while I was on the break, the name of the book I mentioned by Volcker, and it's interesting because I was going to comment on one other issue there, Keeping At It. It was October 2018, so it wasn't just last week. But it's something that I think is an interesting read, because it kind of highlights the differences between what was causing inflation back then. Today it's more of a money supply issue. There's too much money that's been tossed in to the economy. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, we didn't do tapering. And so, there were assorted other factors, but it wasn't so much a supply issue as you had some oil and gas. Well, actually, the oil and gas issues were the 70s, but bottom line is the type of inflation that we had in the 80s was a bit different, and real estate was involved. There were a number of factors, but As I mentioned on yesterday's show, I'll never forget my capital markets finance instructor out at U of H, Dr. Francis Yeager. Tough old guy, probably in the military at one point would be my guess, but like a drill sergeant. And he always used to grouse, you know, the semester I had him, the prime, I think, hit 21, the prime rate. And he would more than a few times said, man, you know, how does a CEO get out of bed in the morning when you're looking at 21% plus a point or whatever it is to borrow money to run your company? And it was just killer. But I'll tell you, it was a thing of beauty watching those rates come down. And I'll never forget people were buying houses at some point when the rate got back to 6 or 7%, and they were saying, you know, even my parents are the only people we know that were able to borrow that kind of rate to buy a house. So it was a very difficult time in our history. But in any event, moving on here, the minimum hold, maximum hold, you know, it's all pro forma, but you're using that to determine what the true equity multiple is, sensitized to the rate that you're trying to achieve. And by the way, 20% may not be the rate you're looking for. I know I've got clients that have their money otherwise. It'd be working in a 1% money market account, or it might be in an index fund. I've lost track of what the leading index funds are generating, but bottom line is it's not going to be wild rates of return. So they may look at a 1.5 equity multiple. You know, if I could get $150,000 back on my $100,000, let's say in 4 years, I'd be happy with that. So, you know, I'm not suggesting to you that your target needs to be 2 on an equity multiple, but we sure like starting there because, again, this is pro forma data, and there's a lot of pro forma 2.0 equity multiples that come in at 1.2 based on reality, and then there's some that come in at 3. So definitely pro forma information. Moving on across, the one column that I want to point out to you, because we are coming up against the final the end of the show, capital dilution over towards the right, that's a key number that I'm still working to refine. But what I'm trying to do there is take the fees that are being charged and assume that that's coming out of the chunk of money going into the deal that you're contributing that would otherwise be working for the lead partner's profit and not your own. And I know some of these numbers look extreme. Trust me, when 5% acquisition fees are being taken out on day one, it is extreme. And then you get into promotes, the overrides that slide from 30% or 20% up to 50% in the exit round because the league got you your money back. Not a profit, but got your money back. So we'll start next week and get into capital dilution. I'll try to make it as clear as I can. Coming up to the end here, I enjoyed the show this week. I'm sorry we didn't have our syndicator. Perhaps next week they'll be able to join us. And look forward to next week. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.